2,100 children and teenagers for the year. Something like 200 and some trusted Christ as Savior. I think a little over 600 teachers. You know, that's exciting to us. Look, we're excited for all the folks we work with as far as children, teens, and excited for those who have gotten saved. But what we're really excited about is others that have a desire to do what we're doing. And they're doing it where and when we can't. And the folks that we have taught over the years, my wife and I have worked with literally tens of thousands over the years. It's taken us 40 years to do that. But they will do that. They will exceed that today in one day. And multiplication, and that is a blessing. I think we worked with a representative of 85 different churches this year. So it has been a busy year, and we are doing our part to keep the airlines aloft, not float. Okay? Don't want them floating. We want them alofting. Okay, all right, just keep praying aloft. Okay, we don't want them to float. But it has been a busy year. It's been an exciting year. Worked in Philippines, Australia, Uganda, and Oklahoma. But anyway, it has been a good year. We all have a very next year is very busy as well. And so we're excited about that. It's not a complaint. That is a blessing. It's a good problem to have. Amen? But thank you to you folks. Where's that list, the things you're writing, you know, the things? Okay, my wife's going to sign it, consumers. Somebody's got to eat it. I wish we could be here. We really do. But Lord willing, we are headed home to Texas on Wednesday. And we're excited about being home. Well, turn to Matthew chapter 5. If you were here for Sunday school, we were in Matthew chapter 4. And that is the Lord's preparation before he went into ministry, into public ministry. And we want to look at Matthew chapter 5. Has anybody noticed that seems like the world's gone nuts? Anybody notice that? Okay. Government, politics, ethics, morals, decency, education. It's crazy. I mean, and listen, it's not just here, folks. It's everywhere. All right. The world has gone berserko. And the Bible tells us that sin becomes what? Exceedingly sinful. Now, I don't dwell on it. There's no way you could even begin to dwell on it. Totally different kind of world in the availability of things, unless you're stuck on those alien movies and stuff. But anyway, the times of Noah. And I can't even fathom that, because I see where we're at today, and it's mind blowing. It's unbelievable. But the hearts of men just tend that way. Amen. Unfortunately, and but here's a thought. You know, we would be just like them. We would think like them. We would behave like them if it weren't for one thing, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? And you know, it's easy to look at things out there. It's easy to look at political sides, and it's easy to look at this, and it's easy to look at that and say, you know, those people have lost it. Well, folks, they are just behaving themselves as, thank you very, very much. Is this new or used?
Brand new,
never been used. Excellent. Okay, I don't know, but you should always shake them up and get the H's and the O's, you know, because they can settle. All right, and so you want to do that. Thank you very much. I'm going to just see if it's like new or used. I don't know. Okay, right. Amen. They ask somebody at the restaurant that the lady serves your water and you're used. You'll see the reactions. All right. They don't know what to do. I forgot where I was at. We would just behave ourselves just exactly the way they do. Except for the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. Except realizing we're a sinner, trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, and we become an old things passed away. Behold, what? All things become new. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so what makes us different is Jesus Christ. So folks, we need to be real careful about how we talk about them. Real careful. Because we would be just like them. Amen. Maybe some of you have not been saved so long that you can remember when you were just like them. Okay? So, if we're here and they're there, why are so many folks out there the way they are? And how come there's just so few folks us the way we are? Is the world in a mess today because of they? Or possibly, is the world in a mess today because of us? Isn't it easy that we think that we got all our ducks in a row? It is, isn't it? Right? It's easy to do that. Folks, I don't know about you, but I am a sinner. I am. I don't have all my ducks in a row. I don't. But I am sure grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all unrighteousness. Amen? And I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit dwells within. And if I listen to the Holy Spirit, I've listened to the Word of God, life is sweet. Did not say life was easy, but life is sweet. And life is good. And all this in heaven too. Amen? But the world's in a mess. Is there something that we have been given in scriptures to maybe change some of that? I believe we find the answer in Matthew chapter 5. And I want to look at that together. We'll read the scriptures and then I'll pray. Matthew chapter 5, looking starting verse 13. By the way, for some of the folks that say the King James Bible, you know, it's old fashioned, it has old fashioned words in it. I like these old fashioned words because they clarify some things. And the first word that we find there in verse 13 is the word ye. Okay? That's a pronoun. All right. And this pronoun, people don't use the word ye anymore and they've replaced it with the word you. Okay. The word Y-O-U is an indefinite pronoun. If I cried out, hey, you, who's you? We don't know who you is. Okay. And now if I said, use guys. Sorry about that. Now we know. So that's a use guys. Okay. All right. It says, ye are the what? Salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, we ask your blessings on the preaching of your word this morning. And Lord, as you guide my thoughts, my words, my actions. And we just ask God that you be honored and glorified in this. Help us. We're needy people. And just use us today. Today's the first day of the week, and coming up to the end of the year, and people talk about in January, and you know, a resolution, a new leaf, a turnover. But Lord, today, Help us today. Help us today to make a change, to make a change in someone else's life. And Father, we're on our way to heaven. We're going to be with you one day. And maybe soon, maybe not so soon, but we know that it'll happen. There's a whole lot of folks out there don't know that. Lord, help us to be what you've told us, to be salt, to be light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's not a salvation message this morning. By the way, if you are here and live streaming, whatever they call us, folks out there, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, you don't want to miss that. It is the greatest life. I got saved at the age of 22, just had an anniversary, 44 years, October 23rd, and I lived the other side of the coin to the fullest. I don't brag or joke or laugh about what my past was. I'm totally ashamed of my past. And by the way, I'm still paying for my past. My sins are forgiven, but the consequences don't go away. All right? And sin leaves scars. Leaves scars on your mind, leaves scars on your heart, leaves scars on your body. And unfortunately, because of the choices I made prior to October 23rd of that year, those scars are still there. All right? But thank God, my sins are under the blood. I'm on my way to heaven. If you're here without Jesus Christ, we would love the opportunity to sit down with God's Word and show you how you can know for sure. I've had people say, you can't know for sure. You know what? I used to say the same thing. I'd say people, you can't know for sure. Well then, I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and guess what? I know for sure. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. And not because of me, because I'm no good, but because of the promises of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that lives within me. Amen. And so, Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5 is talking about two things, talking about salt and light. I'm not going to preach on light. That's a whole other subject. Salt is a substance. It's tangible. You can touch it. In this case, you can taste it. All right? And so the Lord wants us to be touchable. The Lord wants us to be, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but he wants us to be something that's real. Amen. Okay? You know what? This world is so full of plastics, okay? All right? My wife even read an article about sea salt and how healthful it is and all that stuff. Well, they've just done some studies and found out that sea salt has got a whole bunch of ocean plastic in it. Hmm. Oh, well. Okay. I hope no oceans were plastics or in the Himalayas. But anyway, because now we've gone to the pink salt. Why can't somebody come up with blue salt or something?
Anyway.
Okay. But salt. The Lord wants us, that's the first thing he said there in Matthew chapter 5. He wants us to be what? Salt. He wants us to be salt. So I want to look at some things about salt. Now, salt is sodium chloride, NaCl. All right? It's made up of two different elements. The element of sodium and chlorine. Sodium is a soft, kind of whitish gray metal, all right, that you can smush between your fingers, all right? Now, if you did that, if you had any moisture in your fingers, you just blew the end of your fingers off because sodium reacts violently in the presence of water, okay? Now, for all you scientific people, on the periodic table, sodium sits way over there on the left, up there at the top, okay? It's very reactive. It's very violent. Anybody here resemble that remark? Okay, all right? Chlorine at room temperature is a green poisonous gas, but it doesn't kill right away. It's slow and agonizing death. I like to read. I've read lots of submarine stories and some of the things that with the old diesel electrics and the presence of seawater coming in on the batteries. Not pretty. All right? It's a horrible thing. And salt is, and both are very reactive, very violent, very reactive, very destructive, very horrible things. But God can put those two things together and it becomes salt. An interesting thing about salt, you know what salt wants to be? Salt. It doesn't want to be anything else. It just wants to be salt. Isn't that amazing that when we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're just saved. Amen? And nothing's going to change that. We're just saved. Amen. Nothing can change that. Yes. Salt. He just wants us to be what? Salt. Something real. But as we look at some of the properties of salt, some things that we all understand, but I wonder if we could just maybe bring it into more of a spiritual context. Why did Jesus say salt? There's something on his mind for him to say that. How come he didn't say pickles? You say, that's ridiculous. Oh, I know. But he could have said anything else. But why salt? Salt has some very interesting things about it. And I think that we could look in scriptures and find some of those things out as to why he said salt. One of the first things that we understand that we learned as little kids that salt preserves. You know what? It is important to preserve this word. Amen. You know what we're having here this morning? We call this church. You know, this is an important thing to preserve. Amen. Something that Christians have been doing since day one is supporting folks in the work of missions in some place. You know what? That's something that needs to be preserved. Integrity. Yeah, I like the things that you have. You guys have done this for years. You've put these banners up, these reminders up, and the theme for this year in 2019 is answers. Okay, are you announcing what next year's is yet? Not yet. I won't tell them either. Okay, I don't know either. I don't know anything unless my wife tells me. Okay, it's come to that, right? And there's a lot of things in our Christian life worth preserving. You know what? Integrity is worth preserving. Amen. Okay, I'm going to look at some young people today. Young men, keep your integrity. Keep it. Young ladies, keep your integrity. Okay, don't cheapen it. Don't even think about going there. Look, if the rest of the world wants to cheapen that, that's their choice. They will regret that. Again and again and again and again. Integrity. Don't throw it away. Keep it. It's a good thing to preserve. In Psalm 25, you can turn there if you like. Psalm 25, verse 20. We'll look at several scriptures this morning. Preacher, what time do I need to be done by? You tell me. Okay. All right. Okay. Today is Sunday. My wife and I, we teach classes, and we do that a lot of places. I got back from Uganda, and I taught 4 days in a row, 8 hours a day. So I'm just getting started, okay? Amen. It's Psalm 25, verse 22. So I'm Job. Where did I come? I'm going to read. Psalm 25, and it says, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness," what? "Preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." Salt preserves. You know what? World's gone crazy. we need to be normal. Amen. That is not normal. This is. Amen. Okay? And folks, you don't need to be ashamed of that. You do not need to be ashamed for being a Christian. And listen, that's not the new normal. This is the normal. That's not normal. That's abnormal out there. They try to call it the new normal. It's not. Never will be. This is normal. Truth is normal. Anything else is abnormal. Amen. There's not a new salvation. There's not a new way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salt preserves. Thanksgiving is coming up. That's something worth preserving. Amen. I'm glad that you folks are getting together. And don't raise your hand, don't say anything, but I wonder how many people really know, truly know, the real Thanksgiving story. I think it's important that we retain that. It's the only American Christian holiday. And it's an important one. And you say, well, I know all the story about the pilgrims and all that kind of stuff. There's a whole lot more to it than just that. Okay, the world is trying to glamorize, and they've actually twisted and perverted some things. But the real history, there's a fellow that wrote a book, William Grady, and he wrote a book called What Hath God Wrought. There's a section in there about the Thanksgiving. I would encourage you to read that. You say, well, I'm not so sure. Well, it's footnoted, and you can go and read some other people. And I think that you'll find, if you do that, you'll find the Thanksgiving story is incredible. Incredible. God had his hand in all of that. Amen. Salt preserves. Salt does something else. Salt seasons. You know, every person in this room is addicted to this stuff. We are. We like this stuff, don't we? Amen. Okay? Anybody here on a salt-free diet? Good for you. Amen? Okay? Okay? Maybe you are, you just won't admit it. Or you don't like it and you just decided you're not going to, all right? But salt, okay? Salt seasons. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, O taste and see what? That the Lord is what? Good. And by the way, folks, he is good. Amen? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And you know, folks say, well, you know, all the terrible things that happen in the world. You know what? You sit down and you really look at that. That's because of choices that people make. Amen. God is good to us. So salt preserves, salt seasons. Well, that salt does something else. My dad would always say to me, son, don't rub salt in a wound. How many of you heard that? Okay? Anybody ever try it? I had this unfortunate little characteristic in my life. My dad said, don't, I did. And he said, do, and I didn't. But anyway, okay. One time, he would say to me, son, I would never give you a job I wouldn't do yourself. So one day, he told me to do something, and he said, son, I would never give you a job I wouldn't do myself. And I said, why don't you do it? Anyway. I had some wounds. Duh. I'm a little slow. Every neighborhood I moved into, they said slow children at play. Mine said slow. Somebody edited said slow child. But anyway. Salt cleanses. And it really does. And it burns like fire. Now, when I was a kid, you said, well, man, you wouldn't do that. You would do, you know, some kind of medicine or something. Well, when I was a kid, they had something that was worse than salt. It was called iodine. Okay. Some of you in this room remember those days, okay? The little teeny bottle you take with a black cap and had the little glass stick in it, okay, with the little ball on the end, okay? On that little ball, that little tip right there was death, okay? And so if you hurt yourself, you never told anybody about it. Why? Because if you did, they said, get the monkey blood. It wasn't monkey blood. It was insanity is what it was. It burned. Oh. So they get all ready and then you're... Okay, and then somebody invented mercuricome, you know, painless. Well, I didn't believe them. Okay? But salt does cleanse. And but salt is a it's a pretty heavy duty cleaner. And in Psalm 19 verse 12 it says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." You know, every one of us in this room, there are sins of commission and sins of omission. And in those sins, there are things that we would die if anybody else knew about it. We would. Every one of us are guilty of that. All of us. Secret faults. And you know, even in our own selves, you know what we don't want to do? We really don't like admitting that. I haven't met a person yet that says, "Man, I just love realizing I'm a sinner and I just want to tell everybody that I am a no good for nothing, rotten, should go to hell sinner." We don't think those terms, do we? But you know, secret faults. If we was to, and maybe you've dealt with secret faults, and not a pleasant thing, very unpleasant thing, very can be a very painful thing. But salt cleanses. If you ever have a wound and you have no way of dealing with it, and you realize you can do something about it, that will clean her up. It is incredible. You probably won't enjoy it. Amen? Okay? For all you survivalists, there you go. Or you can go get your bottle of iodine. I don't care. All right? Salt cleanses. But salt heals also. Amen? We've all done this. We've all said, "Oh, my bowel's killing me." And we've always got the warm water, you know, maybe the little lemon and the what? Salt, and we've all done the... Okay, all right. Why do we do that? Because we know it what? It heals. Why did God say salt? I think there's a lot of things he wants us to preserve. I think there's a lot of things he wants us to season. I think there's a lot of things he wants us to clean up. I think there's a lot of things that... We have a hurting world out there. And you know what? We can hurt in here. But folks, we have some answers. And you know what? We have the fellowship. Amen. Right? And we have the Holy Spirit. We have a world out there that they don't have anything like that. Nothing. And can I tell, there's a lot of folks running around there, and they're trying to help everybody believe or make everybody believe that everything is great. It's not so great. You saw, can you say, look at the anger. Look at the malice. Look at the degradation of humanity. It's unbelievable. Okay? Nobody's the discontentment. It just goes on and on and on. But you know what, folks? If we could just be a little salt, we realize the redeeming grace. We realize the forgiveness of sin. But they need to know that. Amen. And how are they going to know forgiveness if they don't see it? How are they going to know forgiveness if they don't hear it? God wants us to be what? Salt. You have neighbors that offend you? You know what they need to hear from you? That you forgive them. Family? You know what they need to hear from you? That you forgive them. People at work, the corporate ladder, the squashing of others, you know what they need to hear from you? I forgive you. Amen. That's not an easy one to swallow. Why? Because you say, well, they don't forgive. Doesn't make any difference if they do or not. We wouldn't expect it of them. Why? They're not salt. Amen? But we ought to be salt. And we need to be that forgiving factor. We need to be salt. We need to heal. In Jeremiah 8:22, it says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? That salve Okay? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We need to be a healing factor in this world. Something that all you, what state are we in? New York. Okay. We've been in three states today. All right? And my wife thinks I was in four, state of confusion. All right? And salt does something. It melts ice. You say, well, what has that got to do with it? Check this out. 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Interesting thought. 1 Peter chapter 3. Genesis, Exodus. Almost there. 1 Peter chapter 3. Okay. And 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that it may, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your what? Chaste conversation coupled with fear. You say, what has that got to do with melting ice? It says here that if a wife has a husband who's one of those out there, it says because of her chaste conversation, her manner of life, her conversation of word, her conversation of her walk, it says that that husband can be what? One. Aren't the hearts of men cold just like ice? Ice is a cruel thing. Now, in the summertime, you guys probably like iced tea or whatever it is that you drink, but you like it cold. Now, probably some of you are not real thrilled about all that, okay? But we understand that salt melts what? Ice. Well, you know what? Is salt in our conversations? Can't our attitudes, can't our words, can't our mannerisms, can't the Holy Spirit working through us, and that's the light, by the way. Light is not a substance. It's an energy. The light of Christ showing through us to a lost and dying and dark world. Can't we just be salt and God use us and melt the cold, hard hearts of man? Amen? We need to be salt. Salt produces thirst. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And when you look at that real quick, verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with what? Fear. I don't know about you, but you know, it's not very often that people just approach me and say, you know, what is it about you? How come you're so different? How come you're not like us? How come you don't talk like us? How come you don't dress like us? How come you don't behave like us? How come you don't think? What is it? Tell me. Maybe we're just not being salt enough. But it tells us here in 1 Peter that people would actually do that. Well, if we're the salt that we need to be, maybe we have more people wanting to know why. Wanting to know what has made us different. Amen? We need to be salt. It produces thirst. We need to make people thirsty for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the house of God, for the work of God, for the people of God. We need to make people thirsty. We just, because of the way we just live our lives, people, we need people to look at us and say, man, you know what? I am tired of this. Tell me what it is. You seem happy. You seem content. You seem joyous. You're just different. We need to be different than they. Amen? We need to be salt. And then it tells us, says salt can lose its saltiness. We read it there. How does salt lose its savor? I like chemistry. And I thought about that for a little while. And I thought, you know how I can make salt lose its savor? simply add water. And you know what happens to it? The more water I add, all the salt is still there. All my salvation that I got in 1975 is still there. All of it hasn't diminished. But what I can do by choice is I can simply add water and dilute my saltiness. How do I dilute my saltiness? It's easy. It's called worldliness. I can let so much of what's going on out there to become so much part of my life that they know they don't see a difference. They just think I'm weird. I am that anyway. All right? I was weird before I got saved. Weird, okay? I worked on it hard. Okay? Folks, we don't need to be diluted. We need to be full strength. Amen? You say, can it become undiluted? Sure. Evaporate it. And all the salt is still there. Amen? Okay? But it becomes, the solution becomes now what? More salty as we begin to dilute it. And if you dilute it all the way down, all the water is gone. All the saltiness is still there. It doesn't go away. So we in Matthew 5:13 it says, but if salt has lost its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for what? Nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. We don't need to be diluted. Christmas is coming. You know, every one of us need to be careful of that. I like Christmas. I do. Hey, was Jesus Christ born on December 25th? I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. But I do know this. He was born. Amen? Okay? And we make a big deal on on our birthdays. Do you? Okay? I just had a birthday, and we were just at a big birthday party last night for five guys. All had their birthday in November, and it was fun, okay? And it's just I was the old man in the crowd. But anyway, we need to be careful that we don't let ourselves get deluded with the cares and tares and snares of this world. Amen? Okay? We need to just stay what? Salty. And the last thing I want to look at is salt is craved. I have two. I'm sorry. I want to look at two. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm almost done. I promise. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And, verse 3, it says, if so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When I was a little shaver, my grandmother gave me a Bible. And I had that Bible all growing up. And I moved from a couple of different houses back and forth. And I always took that Bible with me. Now, I wasn't in church. And I never read that Bible. Not once. And when I joined the military, I took that Bible with me. It wasn't very big, but it was a complete Bible. I took that thing with me. I had never read it once in my life. Never. And I went off and into the world and the things of the world, but you know what I always had with me? Now, I did not think it was like a rabbit's foot. I did not. Honestly, folks, I am clueless as to why I had that Bible. I look at that Bible, I just couldn't bring myself to cast it away. I just couldn't bring myself to throw it away. I just couldn't bring myself to do that. I had no idea why. Never read it. Never one time read it. And then October 23rd, 1975, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Guess what the first thing is that I did? And by the way, I knew exactly where that Bible was. And I started reading that Bible. Day one. Nobody had to tell me to read that Bible. I just I just wanted to read that Bible. And there was just a thirst there. There was a desire there. And I am so glad that the Lord had that Bible there the day I got saved. Amen. Okay. By the way, I got saved listening to the gospel in a tractor cab in the middle of a wheat field. Just as you folks out there can be listening and watching right now, you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right where you sit. And I got saved in the middle of a wheat field. Amen. No. The fields are white unto harvest, and I was in it. Amen. Okay? And what a blessing. But salt is craved. Last thing, salt is necessary for life. Without salt, we die. We physically need salt. And folks, today, the world out there needs salt. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Unless we are in salt, the world will die in their sins. So who should be salty? Well, it told us, ye. If you're here, born again, you're a Christian, saved by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, sins under the blood, who should be salty? You're to be salty. When should we be salty? Always. Amen? And so we all need to be salty. Today is the first day of the week. We're going to be going out those doors here directly. Go out and be salty. You know, you have a track rack. Give out tracks. Amen. You say, well, people don't read them. You know, we get the same thing. You give somebody a track, and here's what I do. We have an advantage, and I don't necessarily recommend you do this. This track happens to be from Texas, but I probably have this track was from Colorado, okay? And I just gave out one last night. It was from New York City. And I give tracks out all the time. And I say, hey, listen, the next time you're in Sydney, Australia, come see us. And they look at me and they look at that thing and it's like, wow, I've never been invited to Australia before. What's this all about? It is amazing how many times people will actually look at that thing. Okay? But you know, I get it. I handed out a track yesterday, handed it to a young lady. She was pleasant. She was friendly. And I gave her a gospel track. I said, listen, next time you're in New York City, come see us. Yeah, thanks. Oh, I get that. By the way, and it's easy for us to say, she rejected me. No, she didn't reject me. She rejected the Savior. She doesn't know that. All right? And folks, don't take it personal. Amen? Try to tell somebody. Say a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say something. Just be what? Salt. Just be what? Salt. You never know who you might affect. Jesus said we're to be that. We are to be salt. So go out today and be salty. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being called your son. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all unrighteousness. We thank you for how great a salvation we have through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you also for the privilege of being salt and being light. We just ask that you take these simple thoughts and use them in our hearts and lives to your honor and to your glory. Help us to be salt, preacher.
All right, thank you, preacher. Praise the Lord. That was scriptural. Amen, right down the line. I was at breakfast with Pastor Neeson on Monday from up in Tonawanda. And he said, I got to go do a funeral today. I said, oh, who died? He said, one of our church members. She was 91. And I said, oh, well, praise the Lord, she was saved. He said, yeah, I was out visiting 21 years ago, and I stuck a track. She wasn't home. I stuck a track in her door, and I left. And she took the track when she was 70 years old, read it, and got saved. Immediately started coming to that church. And he said, I can't tell you how many tracks she has stamped for our church and how many she has passed out because somebody stuck a track in her door. She got saved. That was salt. And as I was thinking about the salt here, and basically it's just another, as a synonym for effective, that God, that we would be effective Christians in all these different areas. He gave us 8 or 9 different areas. And so I'd like you to think about that while we sing in closing page 57. And maybe you could just come and pray. This is the Lord's day, the Lord's house. His house is a house of prayer. Maybe you just come and pray and say, God, I want to be more effective. I want to be the salt of the earth. And just pray for effectiveness in all these things that salt does. What an amazing object lesson from nature Jesus gave us, salt and all these things. I can't even remember them all, but maybe there's a few of those you want to just come and pray. God, I want to be effective as a Christian. As we stand together and sing page 57, why don't you come and pray? Just say, God, help our church to be more effective. Why don't you come now and pray as we sing the first?